And welcome back to another episode of the Conspiracy Me Boy Line.
It's me, Joe.
You might have noticed that we do not have video for this one. That's because, the camera's not working today.
Yeah, it's classic technical difficulties here
at
the Geek Centurions.
Yeah, we felt the need to address it before we go into anything else. But yeah, so we're here to talk about Godzilla Minus One. Very interesting title, I'll say that.
It's the latest out of Toho, the original, film company behind Godzilla.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of going back to the roots, in a sense, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Straight up, like, post-World War II Japan, Godzilla shows up. Pretty classic in terms of Godzilla settings, and I'm pretty sure that's part of the reason with the title Minus One. Like, I wouldn't say it's like a prequel or anything. It's definitely not that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it pretty much sort of a return to the origins and basics for a Godzilla movie, you know?
Yeah, that's essentially what they're trying to go with this film. There's a lot of homages to not only just different like Godzilla films, but the original one as well. And this is a return to forum for a lot of people, because we've been mostly having Shin Godzilla, the exception, of course. Most of the stuff that's coming out from the West, the Hollywood's, Godzilla's Monsterverse, him and King Kong and all the other stuff. And we would be talking a little bit about that, because there is a sort of a interesting thing with both of them. I would say even they stole some imagery from them. I wouldn't say steal, they work together. But yeah, so the way we usually do it here at the Geek Centurions is that we usually talk 1 minute about our thoughts on the film, and then we go into a further discussion. So let's go ahead and start that right now. Joey, give us your thoughts on Godzilla Minus One.
Alright, so Godzilla Minus One is definitely what I would consider more of a reimagining of the original Godzilla, because it has all the hallmarks of the original Godzilla. It's about a post-World War II Japan sort of struggling to come back from, the devastations of the atom bomb, and having to face with all the, the tragic stuff that's happened. And, we obviously see Godzilla as this sort of unstoppable force, the military can't stop it. Like, what can stop it? Has a very emotional, I think, sort of story with our main lead, who's sort of a kamikaze pilot who didn't go down with his, chickened out, I guess is the correct word.
Yeah.
But pretty much, yeah, like, it follows his sort of survivor's guilt, all that sort of thing. And it really sort of ties in by the end, It's a very emotional movie, and it definitely harkens back to the original Godzilla.
Okay, that's good. Just in time. All right, my turn. So, as a longtime Godzilla fan, I'll say this. This is one of the better films. Like I said earlier, it harkens to a lot of previous Godzilla films, specifically like the first one, a bit of the 1958, the start of the Heisei era, and a little bit of the millennium from Godzilla Monster, Godzilla Mothra King Ghidorah, Monsterzilla Attack. There's a lot of that kind of feel here, but it's also a very human story. It centers around a young pilot who, as Joey said, chickened out of. And we're saying that because that's basically what he does, but that's not, there's more nuance to that. And sort of the life that he has to go with, and being suffering from PTSD and all the like, and how Japan itself, the people, have to recover from such a devastating loss during World War II. It's very much a human story at the end of the day for this Godzilla film. So, let's talk about that first, our lead.
His name was Koichi, I believe.
Koichi Nishiyama, I believe.
Shishiyama, I think.
Yeah, I'm Googling because I don't want to be wrong.
Yeah, but his story is definitely interesting. As you said, he was a fighter pilot who was tasked to do a kamikaze mission, and he had nerves, so he decided
Shikishima.
So he pretty much decided to just stop by a repair station on a local island, and pretty much most of the soldiers, the repairmen there sort of realize that, like, the plane doesn't really have any issues, but it's clear that he was very much not in the right headspace of going down a suicide mission like that, which, you know, yeah, and given the real-world context, yeah, there's probably were quite a few soldiers that were not comfortable straight up just suicide bombing into a ship during World War II, even though, like, a lot of it, I mean, we even see somewhat of that when, you know, he's very hesitant to say what exactly he did during in the Navy as a pilot, because, mm-hmm. you know, once, you know, you're, like, kamikaze pilot, it's like, oh, and you didn't, you know, sacrifice yourself for the Empire. That's, yeah, with some characters, you know, obviously yeah. post-war, you know, it's very much like, given the context of World War II and a lot of the whole Bushido code that a lot of...
The stuff that you hear a lot about when it comes to the...
The Japanese during World War II.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, they did not, you know, believe in surrendering, you know, all this stuff. Like, it was right. It was more honorable to die in battle than to surrender, that sort of thing. So there are a couple characters, at least one major character that just kind of just goes like, "How dare you?" Like, yeah, it's, you know.
But there's also like certain characters that come from a very understanding point. It's not the film doesn't essentially like, you know, heavily, you know, scrutinize this the Koichi. In fact, it kind of, for the most part, sympathizes with him and understands like where he's coming from.
Mm-hmm.
And like throughout the film, like, we kind of see him like struggling with that, having like nightmares in the middle of the night and stuff, like feeling that he isn't like adequate to be, you know, happy because of the things that he ended up doing and like, you know, deserting his post kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's really the center of the film, is just like his relationship, and even his relationship with Godzilla, because I'm not going to spoil, it happens in the first 5 minutes, he had a chance of like taking out Godzilla.
Yeah, because we definitely harken back to Godzilla's origin as a, he's just a sort of weird, like, animal, right?
Yeah.
He's like sort of like this animal lost to time, like he's just a giant dinosaur mm-hmm. that swims around. Who later gets, you know, hit with an atomic bomb and causes them to become the Godzilla that we know. You know, so something of a similar sequence to, say, one of the older Godzilla movies. I believe it was Godzilla vs. Ghidorah, right?
Yes.
From the second generation. The Heisei era, I think it was
mm-hmm.
called.
Yeah, it was Heisei.
Yeah. You know, like, he has a chance, like, to use the guns on his fighter plane to, like, at least distract or, like, you know, get Godzilla away from all the other dudes who were repairmen, not necessarily soldiers, but, you know, the fear takes over and he's not able to do it, and, you know, he definitely feels responsible for, like, letting all those dudes die, especially when the last survivor was, like, how, you know, you had a chance to shoot him and now everybody's dead.
Yeah, there's and like, that comes back to him, that's what haunts him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is, in a way, it's commentating on not only America's use of the bomb and, like, you know, their situation within the war, but it's also very much commenting on that idea of the, you know, dying with honor kind of stuff. Not to say it's a negative, you know, there's no way for me to say it, right? But, like,
it's like, the film's not, like, saying that it's, like, a bad thing,
mm-hmm.
but it also comes from, it also shows, like, a understanding of, like, yeah, like, some people just were not meant to think that way or be forced to be in those situations.
There's a conversation at one point in the film where it pretty much states, like, what the thought of, you know, throwing away one's life for such a thing, right? And especially with, like, some of the characters who are, there's a lot of vets in this movie.
Yeah, like, there are, and they all sort of have, like, sort of that opinion of, like, boy, we really didn't really do a whole lot at the end of the day.
And not in, like, we could have won this, you know?
It's just sort of like, why did we do this kind of thing,
there's
right?
There's a certain character that essentially criticizes everything the Japanese government has done in the film.
Yeah, sort of, talking about how, you know, wartime and stuff, because you know, it's a very, I wouldn't say hyper political, right? But it definitely has, you know, political, like, undertones to it, which, I mean, I feel like when you're not having a Godzilla movie that's going to be Godzilla versus another monster thing, it, you know, that's pretty much
well,
what it is.
Well, I mean, like, even the last one from Toho, Shin Godzilla was political in the sense that it, Hideki Anno, the guy who made Eva, was very much of the opinion that that's kind of like one of the things about Godzilla, and his movie, Shin Godzilla, was basically a commentary on the Fukushima nuclear, you know, disaster, and, you know, Japan's, the Japanese government's, like, failure to do anything, really.
Well, yeah, it was, and if you watch the movie, it's very much sort of, like, you kind of see the government's sort of incompetence and the bureaucracy of that stuff, like, impeding, like, efforts to stop Godzilla in that movie, right? And, you know, this movie definitely has a similar angle. I mean, we're not necessarily, like, incompetence of the government, but more so of, just, you know, like, showing, like, hey, you know, like, the stuff that the Japanese government did during, World War II, you know, expending human lives just to win a fight, you know, it just, did not turn out well at all. You know?
Yeah, no, like I said, there's a lot of comedy in that. Even, like, I mean, two characters are orphans because of the war. Nariko and Akiko, who you'll see throughout in the film, who play a very important role in this movie.
Yeah, it's pretty obvious. I mean, heck, you know, Koichi comes back to his home that's been pretty much destroyed by the war. Not from nuclear bombs, though. Because where he lives is not neither Hiroshima or Nagasaki. But, you know, like, if you know the history of World War II, you know that the Americans also firebombed a lot of other cities in Japan way before the nuclear bombs, even Tokyo. And, yeah, a lot of characters mentioned, yeah, I lost my parents during the air raids, the firebomb raids. And
yeah,
stuff.
I lost my kid, I lost my wife, I lost my husband.
Yeah, so it's like you clearly see the effects of the war on the regular populace, and it's just sort of like, what was it all for at the end of the day? You know? And, you know, we sort of get to see that. I guess we can talk a little bit about Godzilla himself.
The big G-man himself.
Which, I mean, yeah, we do. It's neat that just seeing how he sort of, I mean, yeah, he has that sort of classic Godzilla look, right?
Yeah. And this is why we mentioned, like, Godzilla, like, and there's a little bit of each of the different iterations of Godzilla throughout their specific eras, where they introduced in the first Godzilla movie, they introduced the idea that, you know, he's probably just a lost dinosaur, you know, who got infected by the bombs. But also, like, the Godzillasaurus thing from Godzilla versus King Ghidorah.
Yeah, like, straight up, you know, that sort of thing. Like, it's interesting because it's like, oh, you know, yeah, the locals here on this island talk about this giant, like, sea lizard or whatever called Godzilla, you know? And we get to see him in sort of, like, that sort of animalistic way of just, like, oh, I'm just going around eating things, you know? That's what I do. And then, and it is interesting how, again, like I said, how they do his transformation. It's kind of, it's kind of like one of those, like, yeah, we already know how Godzilla is made kind of thing. Let's get the ball rolling here. Where it's sort of, like, just quick sequence of nuke hitting, Godzilla clearly changing, and then various secret government stuff of, like, hey, from the Americans being like, hey, there's some weird things going on, taking out our ships, like, some weird thing. We got nothing on this, so, yeah.
You guys handle it. We're dealing with the Russians.
Yeah, which I think is actually another interesting political angle of, like, hey, where is the U.S. in this kind of thing, especially since it's, while the original Godzilla, I believe, is supposed to be set, like, in 1954, basically, you know, in a post-world Japan, you know, all that's
immediately post-war, too.
Yeah, and this movie is set, like, straight up, like, at least 2 years after the war.
Yeah.
Like, so it's clear, and they sort of have the setup of, like, oh, the U.S. doesn't really want to do any sort of, like, military maneuver stuff because they're busy dealing with Russians and stuff, and you know they want to do this. So like, yeah, the Japanese are kind of on their own here. Sorry.
Not sorry.
Yeah, so you know there's a bit of that too. But yeah, it's obviously his design very classic. The way he moves, you know, still feels functionally like similar to how he probably would, you know, move in like the older movies. He's in like his abilities as well is pretty something interesting. I think we got to see more like straight up like his regenerative abilities, which I think has always been a thing for Godzilla, like.
Mm-hmm.
He can regenerate a bit, but never on the scale of I think what we've seen in the movie. Because I think even you were like, "Holy shit!"
Yeah, no, there was a moment where like I was taken aback. I couldn't hold it too. I didn't yell it, but I was kind of like very vocal about like my reaction to that scene.
Yeah, and it's sort of like oh wow, like in like. You know, like in previous movies, it's not, it's like, all right, you know, obviously we know the military can't do anything, but in this one, it's like, wow, okay, yeah, no, 1940s tech really can't do jack to Godzilla, because wow. And obviously, his whole, you know, obviously when he does the atomic breath stuff, is also, you know, pretty interesting, because his, like, spikes all go, like, up and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the way they have the atomic breath be, like, an actual sort of, like, straight-up nuke is also just, like, if you never, I don't know if there's anybody who hasn't watched Godzilla understands that, oh, yes, Godzilla is an allegory for the nuclear bomb. This movie definitely hammers that home well into a point, because he straight-up just nukes the city.
Like, just, there's a point where, like, I'm like, yeah, no, people are dead.
Yeah,
there is no surviving that.
Yeah, like it really is just straight up like just the images alone of his destruction, you know. And even and again, as we were talking earlier about how it has a lot of callbacks. I mean, heck, the first scene of him raging through this, ramping through the city, it feels straight up like almost a shot for shot, like not like
recreation
of various. Portions of the very first movie, like he even like picks a little less in his mouth and stuff, like he did in the original.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
There's even a moment where like I'm like, are you guys harkening back to like Raymond Burns' like version of the original Godzilla movie?
Yeah, the American version of the original Godzilla, where it's yeah. So there's that too, which is, I mean, it could be that. I'm not gonna give it to you, but
no. It's but like you could totally understandable where I'm coming from. Because of like the language and dialogue that they're being used for that specific scene,
mm-hmm.
And but like no, it's meant to be, you know, like a harkness to that, because it's essentially Godzilla's first attack.
Yeah, like at that point in the movie, it's like he's just been sort of attacking various naval ships and stuff,
mm-hmm.
And it's like this is the first time he's made landfall, and yeah, you know.
Yeah, and like yeah. There's just a lot of stuff in there. There's a lot of stuff to talk about, too. One of my favorite things about it, too, was sort of the supporting cast. Koichi is essentially, you know, tasked with, like, handling, you know, post-war stuff. Like, you know,
he's cleaning up mines and stuff. And, like, the crew of the mine cleaning crew. Like, you have the old grizzled veteran dude, the old, like, this scientist guy who worked in, like, weapons engineering or whatever.
He's like, I need a job.
Yeah, like
and this kid who's like they literally just give him the nickname kid.
Yeah, and he's like, hey, you know, like I'm the same age as this guy. It's like, yeah, but you weren't a fighter pilot. And shut up.
like he has more experience. He went through some shit you haven't.
Yeah, that's why we call you kid. Yeah.
Yeah, like there's even a moment where and like that character is basically supposed to be like the next, you know, the youth, you know, right? The youth that never got exposed to all that stuff. And, like, kind of romanticize it in a way.
Yeah, because there's definitely a moment where it's like, wow, that's so awesome, man. Maybe, you know, I kind of wish I got a chance to fight. And then Koichi's like,
no.
What the fuck did you just say?
Dude, I lucked out.
Like,
I was a kamikaze pilot.
Yeah, it's like, you better shut your damn mouth, right? You don't want to fight in a war, bro. Not like what we did.
Yeah, it's just... A lot of, like, I'm not kidding when there's a lot of, like, aspects of survival's guilt and PTSD throughout this movie. It's very much like a very mature story hidden behind a Godzilla movie. But I think I said this before. Like, Godzilla is like meant to be like a walking metaphor for anything. They've used it before in like past films, where there'd be like, even in the American films too, of like, you know, climate change,
nuclear, you know, weapons and, you know, that sort of thing, right?
Yeah. So like, it's a lot of stuff like that, and like, to like I said, like, those characters on there are great. Noriko was probably one of her relationship with Koichi is probably one of the great things about it. It's sort of like these two lost kids who found each other.
Yeah, they're just sort of trying to figure out
mm-hmm.
where they're at and just, you know, having to take care of Aiko and stuff. I mean, yeah, it's I think the supporting cast definitely
mm-hmm.
is interesting. They all have their own moments, and both emotional as well as part of the story. You know, it's pretty interesting to see that.
Yeah, all around. Like, that's the heart of the movie, really. Like, goddamn, this movie was very emotional.
Yeah, and it's like you said earlier, like, I think that's what it makes Godzilla movies so interesting a lot of the times,
mm-hmm.
is that, like, Godzilla, the franchise itself, is so malleable that you can just sort of make whatever story you want and kind of just run with it.
No matter how silly it is.
Yeah, because obviously we've had, you know, obviously the mainline sort of Toho Godzilla movies, you know, hell, the original was straight up like a nuclear, you know, it was an allegory for the nuclear bomb and for a country that is the only country so far to ever experience nuclear weapons being used on them. You know, it's, yeah, you can definitely feel that through that movie. And obviously, you know, we have the later Godzilla movies that are just sort of, yeah, let's have them fight monsters and stuff. You know, that's kind of cool, right?
Yeah, there was a one where, like, they fought aliens that were cockroaches or something like that. I think there's one that had underground people, too.
Yeah, just, like, all kinds of weird, like, sci-fi.
Showa-era Godzilla was wacky.
Yeah, 60s sci-fi definitely goes off the chain. I mean, heck, you have Godzilla fighting Hebra, the smog pollution monster, which is like, you know, a message about climate change. I mean, and like you said, even the American movies. I mean, I wouldn't say would Godzilla 1998 have any messaging, or is it just,
no, that one's just more of a like a
standard like
creature feature.
Yeah,
and like Roland Emmerich did not put that much political stuff in that one.
Yeah, I guess the closest thing is just sort of like, alas, poor Godzilla, he was just a monster, just wanted to live,
mm-hmm.
kind of thing, you know. But obviously the legendary movies at least have that little bit of like, yeah, he's a force of nature, he sort of, you know, goes around just sort of balancing things out, and that sort of further pushed upon in King of the Monsters. Obviously Godzilla vs. Kong doesn't really have a whole lot of that stuff, because mainly it just, you know, yeah, we want to see big lizard fight big monkey.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But yeah, like, and as we mentioned earlier, Shin Godzilla has the whole subtext of the Fukushima nuclear meltdown back in, I want to say, 2013, I think? 2014?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was pretty.
Yeah, there's a lot of layers to this movie. It's just so good. Like, I literally left the movie being like, this was really, really good.
Yeah.
I loved it.
It is kind of also, I mean, just to go off topic here for a little bit,
mm-hmm.
it's just kind of neat to have, like, because it feels like, not only do they go for, like, I guess kind of like similar classic design of Godzilla, they also just have him, like, it feels like they kind of use, like, his original, like, roars as well, right?
Yeah. There is moments where I feel like that.
Like, at least inspired.
Yeah, and, like, there's a lot of, like, I think we're talking in a loop right now, but, yeah, there's even, like, moments where I feel like, aside from, like, the that first attack, like, vibes of, like, you know, of him being sort of this, like, unknown creature, and, like, what is this? Well, how do we explain this kind of vibe?
Yeah, I will say maybe, like, the only criticism I can kind of think about is kind of that angle. It's like, yeah, he's just sort of just this weird monster thing or whatever. You know, like, and the first Godzilla movie definitely sort of kind of harkens in on, like, trying to theorize, like, what exactly is he? Where did he come from? What's all this, you know, that sort of thing. But I think it's because of more of the perspective of, like, it was a bunch of scientists, I believe, in the first one.
Yeah.
Right? And that were just sort of our main leads. Here, obviously, it's a, you know, fire pirate and all that stuff, so.
Yeah, no, this movie.
They just get, like, within, like, the first 10 minutes, they just name drop, oh, yeah, there's a giant lizard, apparently, that the locals have talked about for a while.
And it's not that big of a criticism, too, I'll say that.
Yeah, like, it's not, like, obviously it's not that big of a criticism. Like, you're going into a movie called Godzilla, like, you're gonna see a giant lizard. But it is kind of, like, at least a little jarring, like, wow, all right, we're jumping right into it, huh? Oh, okay, all right.
Good. I mean, I don't have that many, like, complaints to it. Because, like, I feel like for this Godzilla, it was more or less, like, an embodiment of, like, that survivor's guilt that Koichi was dealing with that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, no, I totally understand where you come from. I don't have that much of an issue for it, but I just really enjoy this movie. So, what rating? So, I guess that's for the end of it. What rating would you give it?
You know, as a Godzilla fan, I gotta go at 10 out of 10. But also, as just the regular movie,
yeah,
as like without that context,
yeah,
without me being
mm-hmm.
like that way.
Mm-hmm.
10 out of 10.
No shit. I mean, I agree with you. 10 out of 10 is it. I think that's a good place to end it. But if you guys really enjoyed it, be sure to follow us on all social media, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, at The Kissing Jones. We're most active on Instagram. We find a link to all podcast sites. We're officially part of, like, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, all the like, and YouTube for all you guys to watch and listen on there. Like, comment, subscribe. And yeah, that's about it. Go watch it. It's a really good movie, guys. Go watch it.
Sadly, when it comes to YouTube, though, you won't get us there. You won't see our pretty faces, sadly. But, hey, you'll still get a video on YouTube.
Yeah. You guys have a good one. Peace.